When heartbreak occurs, most of us suppress the grieving process. There's a generalization of the norm because it happens to everyone, right? Everyone gets their heart broken. But have we ever asked why we carry so much emotional baggage into the next relationship? Let's unpack how to grieve the death of a relationship and unmet expectations. And maybe how better isn't necessarily what we need to heal and move on. Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to Not Your Average WCW with your host, Elspeth Chimeta, aka Lady E. And this is the extension of the MPV, My Point of View blog. So I'm playing Neo's So You Can Cry off his The Year of the Gentleman album, a body of work that remains a favorite of mine from the singer-songwriter. So Neo is one of my favorite artists, but he's also one of my singer-songwriters. As for his personal life, none of our business. This is somewhat a pity party, but it's also an observation. Yes, I'm still licking my wounds of the bamboozled lover. You can even tell from the time that I'm up that I'm still wrapping my head around how someone could be so cruel. Like, especially someone everybody described as a good guy. And I'm starting to think, you know what? Good guys are assholes. Just look at Ross from Friends. Just look at literally the ones who consider themselves good guys. And I'm talking about fictional characters, but I'm just now thinking better the devil, you know. But that's a story for another day. Yeah. And right now, honestly speaking, I am trying to wrap my head around this whole thing. But honestly, I remain the cautionary tale of not sticking to your values and boundaries. And I continuously be the example that gives Menosphere the great content that they have, you know, that we are some of those love's tragedy. So, according to research, it takes 6 to 8 months to forgive someone who hurt you. We're currently in April and in March. So they say April, May, June, July, August, September. So I'm looking towards September to actually get over this hurt, this relationship, this should have been or must have been, this having my so-called soulmate marry someone else. And in addition, according to research, those who reflected more on their relationship over a 9-week period have a stronger overall recovery from their breakup. And honestly speaking, I actually just need therapy to talk to someone, a professional. I need different types of therapies. I need to talk to my uncle, just sit and have coffee with him or wine and just talk to him. And then I need a therapist, like a licensed therapist. And then I need a spiritual counselor, like a preacher or someone just of the word, because I'm still ingrained in my faith. And then I just need God to just speak to me, and I really need to hear his voice, not the voices in my head, because sometimes I think I am un poco loco, because how did I get myself into this mess? Honestly speaking, if it was the voice of God, I believe that, and it is say that whatever God gives you, he gives a good thing and it addeth no sorrow. So how do you give me a man who's supposed to be my husband, and yet he marries someone else and he breaks my heart and he poorly treats me? So yeah, I'm going through the question of faith as well. So you know, it's weird. All the girls have been supportive. They've been trying to be my support system and cheering me on. And you know how everyone goes like, no, you're going to get better. You know, a few months from now, you don't worry. You're going to find him. And, you know, you're going to forget about that idiot. Like, and niggas ain't shit. Forgive for the French. Niggas ain't sherbet. And like there's a lot of voices. Even my sister, she woke me up, and yes, I was wallowing in my tears, and she brought me wine. And according to the UB40 song, Red Red Wine goes to my head, makes me forget that I still need him. It all seems like, honestly speaking, as someone who did work in the medical field, these are all placebos. You know, the coaching, you know, the cheering up, which is good. Like, I'm glad that I have a support system, and the one that I didn't even imagine that I could have. But and everyone was just hugging me. But was that what I really need? My sister was like, "No, you're allowed to feel what you feel." And then that guy is a total tool. Like, we thought that he was a grown up, and you deserve the decency of him literally telling you the truth. He should have just told you the truth, no matter how much it hurt you. Him trying to be a good guy or a nice guy because he, or leaving the door open because he doesn't tell you what's happening, makes him a worse person than someone who owns who they are. You know, a tool is a tool, and you just own it. So, that's what my sister is saying to me. But she was like, "You know what? Drink now so that you can sleep better. Tomorrow you go to work, and then Friday we're going to find you a rebound." But that is anyone who knows me, that's not how I function. It took me a decade to get over someone whom I didn't even have half of a relationship as I had with this guy, this male. Yeah, we're going back to the word male. I was just thinking, you know, it's something I was just wondering. That someone was saying that you should never tell a guy that you're not my type, but hey, someone got married without some of us knowing, without telling us that, look, in as much as I'm sorry that I hurt you, I'm sorry that I don't care for you the way you want me to care for you, and I'm sorry that I'm not the husband that you want or need. I'm marrying somebody else, you know? I might as well also be petty because I'm a Cancerian. Yes, we're now playing with the star signs. But you know, for the longest time I had a type, and anybody, even my nephew, was like, "So this is the guy that you're crying over, and he broke your heart." Like, he was like, "Do better, and we know you can do better because you have been with the somewhat better." But look, I'm at a different age, and sadly, yeah, growing older makes you desperate, sadly. We need a moment of silence for age and the loss of sexual market value. Okay, we're done. Yeah. So, as according to the internet, I've always had a thing for a pukerere type, you know, player, you know, emotionally unavailable, the avoidant type, if we're now talking about attachment styles. So for me, to me, weirdly enough, again, as I said before, he seemed different, and I felt different around him. And yeah, now to my, in hindsight, I shouldn't have functioned on feelings. And I remember someone's one blog that I read, and they were saying, "Don't deal with feelings, you know. Feelings will be the death of us, to be honest. When we work with feelings, we are destroying literally the fabric of logic." But women are not logical. We are not logical. We feel, and we work with feelings. So for me, he seemed different. And now that I've realized of all my choices, he's the most ma he's the malevolent one. Like, he's, I want to use the word diabolical, and in my head, K-Chap's Gehenna comes to mind. Like, right now, that is the song that just comes to mind. You know, and And in my head, and when I had spoken to my sister, when I kept on speaking to my sister, who is a relationship coach, and, you know, she's into mental health, she used to ask me, what is your type? And then I started saying to her, you know, my type is now a man who is intentional in pursuing a committed relationship with me, you know. And I've always believed your type is actually the person you're attracted to at that time. So for me, yes, I did, there is comparison, but in the here and now, when I met him, it was, does this feel like peace or does it feel like butterflies? And butterflies say flight, but it felt like peace. And for me, I just said, oh, if this feels like peace, then this is worth taking on if he pursues me. Remember, I didn't chase him in the first place. I never chased him. I think the chasing only came when I felt like I was losing something important and I needed to cling to him. Because I felt like I was losing something. So when he initially pursued me, I believed that this was the learning to understand a different way. You know, I was scared because instead of butterflies in my stomach, often known as the warning alarm or red flag, I felt peace. And he was somewhat my peace. And again, I'm not going to lie, I felt happy with him. He brought sunshine in my life. And like, as I told him, I'm going to try to do a me before you, but, and as I mentioned before, it's not that I can't live without him. And clearly, I now have to really, really, I guess I need hypnosis to forget that I ever met such a person, and so that I can cover the pain and the rejection and the humiliation. I think of all the things, this is so humiliating. I really want, I know, because me meeting him was peaceful, was happy, was an experience of what the possibility of a mature relationship could be, where in times when I should have been mad, I used empathy or I was calm, and I would even use my very calm voice, a voice that if my mentor heard, he would laugh at me. He has never heard me be that calm. No, of late, you see, he does say that I am a grown woman, I'm mature, I'm a revolved woman. I'm an evolved woman. So he's shared that he's proud of me, but obviously the areas in my life that he would want me to better myself. And in the most interesting aspect, in him being my PC, and I shared what I describe as an intense, mesmerizing, compelling, smoldering, unavoidable connection and feelings. You know, it was like sleeping on a houseboat on top of a lake, you know, like where it's so calm. Anybody who's been on a houseboat, I want to give you an experience, a visual. I remember when I was filming for a TV show and I was on a houseboat. Early in the morning, the water is so calm and the boat is just rocking gently. But the sleep that you have, the calmness, and then you hear the sounds of early morning. That's how he felt like to me. Again, I'm using feelings because I'm a woman and it defies logic. But logically speaking, feelings are nonsensical, honestly speaking. But if I start moving in my logic to a large extent, I then move into my masculine. And we're trying to move away because I need to draw out the feminine. Because it's something I have to continue to work on. So And I'm just thinking, I was so comfortable in his presence and felt safe. Like when he held me, I felt safe, like protected. And you know, a feeling that helped calm my own emotional waters. And again, I'm a water sign. I know y'all don't like star signs, but I am a water sign. And yeah, you know, water can be turbulent. It can be a whole turbulence. You know, we can be a wave, we can be calm. We can also be a whole hurricane, tsunami. So yeah, but honestly speaking, I take full responsibility for being the ringmaster of this circus. I am at fault. I know all my friends, I know people are going to try to console me, but there is a portion of individuals who are going to say, yeah, you are stupid. You were really stupid in this situation. So high five to you for owning your BS. And I'm starting to feel that I maybe happy ever after is not for me. And yeah, I know I shouldn't lose hope because of one malevolent being who didn't care enough about me, who claimed to care, who claimed to say that I was special to them and I meant something to them. But clearly I didn't mean anything when you get married to someone else in 3 weeks, within a small short period of 3 weeks, and you don't have the decency within the 21 day no contact, within the period of no contact, to just say, hey, what's up? Actually, to actually come up and you know where my house is and say, look, I am marrying someone else. It's better off that I just pretend to be strong and then cry all alone, but I've been given the choice than to be lied to. But, you know, as the Shona saying, Rinamanyangari putirwe, what is horns will never be consoled. And because I do pray and I align, and apart from me praying, me and my ancestors are aligned as an African woman. So my spirituality, my intuition is stronger as I grow older, is stronger as I go through the most challenging experiences in my life. So you can't lie to me. The truth will always come out. And yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I am responsible for all this nonsense that's happened to me. And now, yes, I am taking my full karma for it. I call it karma because I always say you get what you give. So it's not necessary that I've been in the past 10 years that I've been malevolent to anyone else. I've always been honest to guys who I'm not interested in, that, look, I'd rather not waste your time. You're a great guy, but I don't feel like you're great for me, or I don't feel the chemistry, the biology, or the physics between us. So, yeah. So for me, it's like I'm just honest, and I'm honest about what do I want and my expectations. Have I always followed through? No. And then I guess maybe the lesson in the situation is to follow through. So if I'm going to be celibate and I choose to be celibate, then I need to follow through. Even if it takes me 10 years, you know, because this was what, 3.5 years. And I was solid. And don't think there was no temptation. There was a lot of temptation. But I had to think that I promised God and I promised my husband that this is for him. This is for him, and him I'm using God and my husband aligned according to the principles and the Godhead. So, you know, but one thing I know is that sometimes it's the smallest decisions that can change your whole life forever. So him getting married has just it just exterminated him from my life. Like, he better not come back and want to apologize And then when she doesn't make him happy or fulfill him, or he realizes that she's not his person, he better not come. Again, I've literally said the dead must remain the dead, and I do not communicate with the dead. And I'm saying this, yes, I am angry and I'm bitter, but I need to follow through on that. He just needs to stay away from my life and just remain dead. And just remain dead. Like he was a ghost that did very mischievous and, again, malevolent things. And yeah. Good for him. He got married. Yeah, because he seemed like he was very undecided about commitment. But did he make the right choice? Yes, and I'm selfishly saying this because I wanted him to choose me. I actually knew that he had to choose me. Because, again, that unexplainable connection, the divine voices. But yeah, I'm just laughing and I'm like, the universe is just, it has just a great sense of humor. Where you present something and you're like, no, this is yours. And then you take it away and then you give it to someone else. But I will survive. I'm that Gloria Gaynor song. But I'm kind of slowly feeling like I'm a Megan Good character. Like I'm just thinking, I've been thinking about it. I even wrote a whole blog about it, that I'm like Gabby in Love on the 10th Date. You know, Gabby, who's the unlucky in love, who never gets to the 10th date and even have a great relationship. I feel like I'm Maya in Think Like a Man, the 90-day rule girl. Yeah, that one, let's remove the 90-day rule. But yes, the one who wanted commitment, yeah, fail again. And Professor Camille Parker in Harlem, again. The self-sabotaging, overthinking individual, yet another fail. But, you know, I guess every failure is a lesson to grow, no matter how painful it is. You know, every mistake and poor choice helps to reveal your insecurities and underlying issues. And now I just fall into me. It makes great content. Again, as I said, Adele, Carly Simon, Brandy, Mariah Carey, Neo, Taylor Swift. Did I say Taylor Swift? You know, great content. You know, you make great content. Hopefully, this makes me awards and makes me money. I better get something from the heartbreak because clearly it wasn't worth everything else that I invested emotionally, time-wise, spiritually, you know. But again, love is no formula. And, you know, sometimes we might pray and wish, but we've got a lot of forces fighting against us. We've got modern culture, we've got certain mindsets, we've got our own challenges from a spiritual perspective. We also have our own challenges from a personality, you know, like attachment style. Because my sister is very strong. If I say enjoys, no, she doesn't enjoy delving into people's pain in that way. But yeah, attachment styles, you know, we've got different attachment styles, and they're a great reflection of our maladies, you know, as human beings. So I'm actually realizing that I should stop manifesting my poetry, because a lot of poems, I wrote them a long time ago. But now, when I said I manifested the beautiful poems, the chapters where there's the beautiful love poems, I think I'm starting to realize that these poems were supposed to be for someone else, and then they're just reflecting my current situation. And I'm just thinking, there's this one poem, because I'm a fan of Roxette, you know. The poem is called It Looked Like Love, But It Wasn't. And it was actually inspired by Must Have Been Love. You know, it must have been love, but it's over now. It must have been good, but we lost it somehow. And, you know, the opening line, I say, and as I keep on playing Roxette, I reminded of how I thought that you were heaven sent, sent to rebuild what had been destroyed from the remnants of my pain, to wipe away the tears of yesterday. You looked like love, but you weren't. You felt like love, but you never lasted. But you were beautiful dreams, while my eyes were wide open. And then in the prologue, I say, so here I am, in the haze of smoke, eyes filled with glaucoma, just Rachel singing the blues, pondering on what would have become of me and you. But you were heaven sent, sent to teach me a lesson, and to thank God, because it looked like love, but it wasn't. It felt like love wrapped around me like a blanket, but it never lasted. But it was a beautiful dream while I was wide awake. And then there's another poem that I wrote, because it's part of the next compilation of poems. And I guess I'm going to have lots of poems that work. Hopefully I'll be inspired enough. But yeah, I have enough pain to be the great, to be the good writer that I am, the great writer. Yes, sorry for tooting my own horn, but I'm just now thinking about it. So forgive me for the pronunciation, because this is actually a bilingual poem. It's in Spanish and English. So it's titled Si Supieras. Sin tal solo, supieras cuánto te amo. Estuve pensando en ti ayer. Si muere hoy y lloro. Si lloro porque no sabe que on te amo, but you never know. I've got a feeling that someday you'll marry her who is not me. Because as fate has decided, you and I were never meant to be. I got a feeling that someday you'll marry her. ¿Por qué? And he did marry her. Her hair was not me. Clearly, this was all in my head and just a dream. And in the manifestation, in the prayers, in the spirituality that I was experiencing with this relationship. Yes, I'll use the word relationship. Whatever then it category of the relationship, you know how people say really textationship, situationship, but for me it was a relationship. I didn't think I was his best. And he wasn't my best. But when I met him, I said, these are two perfectly imperfect souls at a later stage of their lives, seeking a mature relationship. So I thought we were on the same page. And the mature relationship also brought in a family, a mature family. A family that's guided with Christian principles and an understanding of each other's struggles emotionally and psychologically, because therapy, and helping each other grow and better each other. I was the more extroverted one from my understanding, but each one of us was to... He was my calming water, and I felt I was his upheaval to make him stronger, firmer, and more decisive. But again, we've realized malevolent, manipulative. Can we go on with the M's? I don't believe I'm the best anybody's ever had, but I always want to leave an imprint. That's who I've always been. You know, I've always strived to be unforgettable. That's why sometimes I've made not so wise choices, but the choices I made was, I need to go after what I want. I need to have this big butterfly that's a symbol of the process, you know, that you need time to grow, time to bloom. You know, you start off as a caterpillar. And then you end up being a beautiful butterfly, and a butterfly also has wings to fly. And it's also a symbol of release, releasing. So I had released this male in hopes that in finding himself, he'll come back to me and return to me. He would be boomerang to me. So in this relationship, my belief and understanding was that, yes, we were both lonely, amongst other things, but I believe that we met for a reason and a purpose, and the greater purpose was to awaken something in each other for the better and the greater good, and that our union would be the greater good for not just our families, our clan, not for, you know, and just not for ourselves, but for businesses, for our children. And he seemed to have a liking for my child, but again, I didn't push the, I really wanted it to be his choice, because I also delivered the notion that, look, you are a guy without a kid, and if you choose to be with me, there is, I do come with something, and if you're ready for this, this is what I can offer, and this is what's going to be on the table. And yes, contrary to what the Menosphere says, I really chose the more traditional way of dealing with this relationship. So, yeah, this is not something I just want to, oh my God, I'm going to discuss it. It's a separate conversation, but yeah. And yeah, it looked like love, but it wasn't. And yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head. It's now almost 2 a.m. and I'm still up, and I really don't know how to deal with myself, because when I'm sleeping, I'm seeing his face and dreaming about him. And then now I'm having this notion, I had this nightmare where I'm seeing his wedding with a woman. A woman I've never seen or met, but just a woman. And I'm waking up angry, and I'm like, you gave away my marriage. And to her, I'm like, you stole my marriage. Yeah. And look, this is my side of the story, but there are many sides to the story. But honestly speaking, because I believe in the divine, this was promised to me. So don't shoot the messenger or the carrier, the vessel that carries. But in short, I've continued to say that I will eventually heal, but I guess I don't think I want to take what my sister or anyone's advice on how I'm processing this emotion. People are like, I need to cry and grieve. I need to be angry, smash things. I need to pray. I need to question God. Why? If ever I do bump into this male, I need to ask that if I really am in the zone to ask. Maybe I'll just pass, but why? But right now I'm just saying, you know what, he must remain dead. If he leaves the country, the better. Then the bumping into each other will never happen. maybe after yonks of years. But if he's around, and then, yeah, I have to face my demons. But let the dead remain with the dead, you know. And there's no closure to this. It's just now me grieving the relationship and unmet expectations. It's me dealing with my self-worth. It's me going back into my shell to protect myself. And yeah, I'm not going to be rebounding in the next 6 to 8 months. So I'll be riding solo until September or November, just healing. And I'm actually not purposely trying to date, honestly speaking. That's not how I function. And I hope people will respect that. That's how I heal. And because I'm a literal Billie Holiday album. Actually, albums. And yeah, maybe I have to rethink that. Maybe my fate is to be single and alone and somewhat unhappy. I don't find my happiness in the next person, but there is a fulfillment in finding your 1 + 1 = 2. And your two shall become one flesh. But yeah, I can't keep dreaming and imagining a return or a reconciliation with someone who made his choice. And yeah, was really cruel about it. Yeah. So yeah, so to round this off, is just, I think we need to stop carrying baggage into the next relationship. Most of us are messed up, and most of us have these wounds that we carry. We're still into these marriages because we didn't unpack. We're like, I'll drink, I'll smoke weed, or I'll go under another human being to F the pain away. But the truth is, that's just a placebo. We need to feel what we're feeling in the moment. I'm not thinking about tomorrow that I'll meet the person who will make me say, no, he was the wrong guy. I'm not waiting for tomorrow that he might divorce this person after he realizes that she's not the one. And I'm putting it out just out there because, honestly speaking, like, I have nothing to lose. I lost a long time ago. And yes, maybe I'll be singing, I bet, in the next 6-8 months. I'll be writing a poem about it, or another song, because I do write songs as well. But in the here and now, I am in my pain. Singing Jar of Hearts, singing Mariah Carey's Breakdown, singing The Worst, Janae Aiko's The Worst. So that's where I'm at. Singing Rihanna's What Now, that's what's happening to me. I need to every now and then, I need the bouts of crying. I need my alone time without other people. I need my anger, you know. So I need to be Beyonce in that yellow dress with the baseball bat, aka hot sauce, and just deal with my grief and anger. And bitterness, because I am bitter. To say that I'm not angry and bitter would be a lie. And yeah, for the protection of those who will be interested, I rather not waste their time in making them my placebos or experiments to get over him who broke my heart, him who betrayed me, him who rejected me. So yeah, no more placebos. We need to start facing ourselves in the mirror and dealing with the baggage and unpacking our suitcases. So that, yes, when we do move into the next relationship, we are healthy, we are whole, we make better life choices, we are mature, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. It's better to get over a heartbreak after a decade and heal and be a witness that when you meet that person, you are amicable with them. Or you frankly just don't care. You're not in wishful thinking. You're not thinking of a reunion. You just don't care. Then obsessively forcing yourself to get over someone and carrying that baggage and projecting your anger and your insecurities onto someone, you know, like, ushers his mistakes, you know. I refuse to pay for his mistakes. So don't be that person who makes other people pay for the other person's mistakes. You're better off healing, taking your time to heal. No matter what people tell you, no, you should go out there, throw yourself out there. I am going back into my shell. And I'm going to give myself time to heal. Right now, I'm not interested in the things that I used to enjoy and be passionate about. So I just think, yes, I'll just delve deeply into my spirituality than anything else. So, yeah, I think this has been the longest podcast of all the podcasts. And yeah, so back again to what we were talking about, you know, that maybe better isn't what we need. You're not looking for something better. You were never looking for something better. I honestly wasn't looking for something better. I wanted him as a whole man, as a decisive man. I didn't want him as half a man who's unavailable, a man who's indecisive, a man who's immature. I wanted him not for perfection, but for who he is. And his flaws. And I did see his flaws. And in return, I wanted you to accept me as who I am. And take me as I am. And we work from that. But again, it looked like love, but it wasn't. And si supieras. He chose her. He married her. Yeah. Always write your own love stories. Did I say your own love stories? P.S. Always write your own love story. This is Lady E. Signing out. Ciao.